Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 17, The Victory of Hiranyaksha, Text Number 26. Sa, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Moving about in the ocean for many, many years, the mighty Hiranyaksha smote the gigantic wind, tossed waves again and again with his iron mace, and reached Vibhavari, the capital of Varuna. Please repeat. Moving about in the ocean.
Moving about in the ocean.
For many, many years.
For many, many years.
The mighty Hiranyaksha.
The mighty Hiranyaksha. Smote the gigantic wind-tossed waves.
Again and again.
Again and again.
With his iron mace.
With his iron mace.
And reached Vibhavari.
And reached Vibhavari.
The capital of Varuna.
The capital of Varuna.
Purport. Varuna is supposed to be the predominating deity of the waters, and his capital, which is known as Vibhavari, is within the watery kingdom. Seems like it took him a long time to get there. Took the scenic route. Text 27. Vibhavari is the home of Varuna, the lord of the aquatic creatures and the guardian of the lower regions of the universe, where the demons generally reside. There Hiranyaksha fell at Varuna's feet like a low-born man, and to make fun of him, he said with a smile, "Give me battle, O Supreme Lord." Purport. The demoniac person always challenges others and tries to occupy others' property by force. Here these symptoms are fully displayed by Hiranyaksha, who begged war from a person who had no desire to fight. Text 28. You are the guardian of an entire sphere and a ruler of wide fame. Having crushed the might of arrogant and conceited warriors and having conquered all the daityas and danavas in the world, you once performed a rajasiya sacrifice to the Lord. As mocked by an enemy whose vanity knew no bounds, the worshipful Lord of the waters waxed angry. But by dint of his reason, he managed to curb his anger that had sprung up in him and replied, "O dear one, we have now desisted from warfare, having grown too old for combat." Purport. As we see, warmongering materialists always create fighting without reason. You are so skilled in war that I do not see anyone else but the most ancient Lord Vishnu who can give satisfaction battle to you. Therefore, O chief of the Asuras, approach him who even heroes like you mention with praise. Purport. Aggressive materialistic warriors are actually punished by the Supreme Lord for their policy of unnecessary disturbing world peace. Therefore, Varuna advised Hiranyaksha that the right course to satisfy his fighting spirit would be to seek to fight with Vishnu. Varuna continued, "On reaching him, you will be rid of your pride at once and will lie down on the field of battle, surrounded by dogs for eternal sleep. It is in order to exterminate wicked fellows like you and to show his grace to the virtuous that he assumes his various incarnations like Varaha." I don't know if this is exactly Varuna's words. Certainly if I went to someone and said, you know, let's have a fight, and they said something like this, it probably wouldn't make me any less inclined to fight with them. But anyhow, that's what it says. Purport. Asuras do not know that the bodies consist of five elements of material nature. That when they fall, they become objects of pastimes for dogs and vultures. Varuna advised Hiranyaksha to meet Vishnu in his boar incarnation so that his hankering for aggressive war would be satisfied and his powerful body would be vanquished. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhaname Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya Devadarne. The Srimad Bhagavatam is full of fights. And one of the things that these fights demonstrate is that in the material world no one can win and no one can break even. Because ultimately one is fighting against the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always winning, Ajita. He's unconquerable. Therefore, to think that somehow or another we're going to be victorious in our struggle against material nature, and at the same time someone like Hiranyaksha or Hiranyakashipu, who had such a power that they could defeat the Lord of the Water, the universal waters, were quite bewildered. That at every moment, every living entity in the material world is being vanquished. Mrityu sarvaharaschaham. Even without Krishna being personally present, at every moment, our material body is being vanquished by the laws of time. And everything we have is being taken away. But due to the illusion, and here we find the demons, asuras, are very much inclined to being frustrated, because actually everyone has some object in the material world that either they're trying to exploit or trying to enjoy, or however we might define it or express it, but everyone has some objective in the material world to ultimately that they're trying to control, and in that position of control they're seeking some kind of material satisfaction or enjoyment. In the absence of Krishna consciousness, in the absence of true consciousness, where there is actually transcendental happiness, one will automatically have to seek some kind of material happiness. It may be in the mode of goodness, it may be in the mode of passion, it may be in the mode of ignorance, but in any case, one will have to seek some kind of material happiness, even if it's in the Brahmana folders. One cannot avoid seeking happiness, and therefore one cannot avoid utilizing the present mind and senses, desiring that somehow or another some arrangement be made so that we can find ourselves in a position of enjoyment. The Bhagavatam is trying to convince us that if that enjoyment is going to entail controlling material nature, and in that position of control try to find some kind of happiness or satisfaction, or even peace. Because ultimately the ultimate objective in material world that everyone's looking for is peace. And peace means that we're not afraid. And not afraid means we feel confident that I'm not going to be vanquished by the material energy. That somehow or another I found a position of security, because without security, how can one be peaceful? And therefore everyone's seeking some kind of security in the material world. Therefore Pariksha Maharaj was sitting on the bank of the Jamuna, fasting until death, and he was asking, what am I supposed to do? I'm going to die. And they were giving him different answers. Take a course on thinking positive. Do some yoga exercise, forget about it, go for a drink. He got so much advice. Finally, Shukadeva Goswami appeared and he asked the same question. I'm about to die. Shukadeva Goswami didn't call an ambulance. Call 911, he's about to die. Give him some respiration. No, he said, Varyan Eshate Prashna, Krito Lokanita Vritpaha, atmavat samatam pumsam shrotavyadishu yakparaha. That this question is actually glorious. Finally, someone asked the question. Everyone's walking around as if they're the lords of material nature, or at least they're going to conquer the material nature by their prowess, which is what the material scientists promise us, that by their intelligence, that somehow or another they're going to conquer our problems. They're going to solve the problems of disease. They're going to fill us with inoculations so that no disease will enter because our body is so destroyed that even a disease wouldn't want to go there. But somehow or another, by medical prowess, by their replacing organs or vaccinations or some kind of medicines, chemotherapy, heart surgery, whatever, they're going to conquer death. But it doesn't look like they've conquered death very much. Simply the expenses of medicine have gone up. And all by their military maneuvers, they're going to kill all the terrorists, because they themselves are the terrorists. It's unlikely they're going to kill themselves. But Krishna will arrange it so that other terrorists who are like them, well, they'll fight with each other and ultimately they'll destroy each other. In any case, that hope that somehow or another we're going to find a solution to our problems in material energy is called illusion. Therefore, one should actually think, what is the real duty for one about to die? That's what the sages of Naimisharanya asked Sutta Goswami. What is the actual religious duty for all people? What is actual dharma? What are we supposed to be doing? That's the first question we're supposed to ask. What are we supposed to do to actually solve our problems, our real problems? So that's not just for Pariksha Maharaj. He's not the only one about to die. There's a few other people about to die also, like ourselves. Because we have some illusion we're going to stay here for a long time, and therefore we don't have to worry about these things quite yet. Maybe in 20 years we'll have to worry about it. But right now we're young, and we're quite strong, and we're here to enjoy, and we're going to conquer old age, disease, and death in the meantime by doing our exercises and taking our vitamin pills and going to the dentist and having our health checkup, and everything will be all right. There's no worries, Mike. She'll be right. Maybe he'll be right also, who knows. One should actually understand, we're just about, well, practically from the point of view of Brahma, we've already gone through our next 1,000 births. There's no question. And Shukadeva Goswami said, Shroti Vyadishu Rajandra Srinam Shanti Sahasrashaha Apashitam Atmatadvam Griheshu Grihamedinam. Generally, people have hundreds and thousands of topics in modern civilization, or 5,000 years ago when the Bhagavatam was being spoken. There's so many things. It's even increased. So many magazines. And what's on the magazines? Mostly they're all lady magazines, aren't they? Most of the magazines are showing some young, attractive lady with makeup. Probably the picture was modified by Photoshop. I saw a little ad like that. They can take a fat lady and reduce her by at least 20 kilos just by a little editing of the photo. A lot easier than losing weight. They don't show an old, decrepit lady, you know, who can't walk and is blind, advertising the clothes because no one buys them. It's always what they consider beautiful. And if you wear these clothes, you'll just look exactly like her, or him, actually, nowadays. So many men, women, clothing. Shoes, clothing, hats, pocketbooks, this, that, cars, so much discussion. And here, I guess it's, or in India, cricket or tennis or whatever else. So, thousands of topics. But what's the idea? Stay young, healthy, beautiful, strong, vibrant, forever. Shrinam Shanti Sahasrasha Apashitam Atmatadva. But they have no, they don't talk about the soul. Griheshu Grihame. Simply the talk is about the Griha. Either the body is the first Griha we live in, and the whole idea is to make the body strong and healthy, protect it, make it like a fort. No one can enter. The germs can't enter. The diseases can't enter. We become impermeable to all kinds of weapons and knives. We become like Superman without any fear from kryptonite. Make the body strong and healthy, and then extend it to our family. All the children get their medical checkup, their teeth straightened, and they get their diplomas, and they go on to college, and they become doctors and lawyers, and protect their old parents. And then community, social security, social welfare, medical checkups for everyone. And then extended if you're a philanthropist to humanity or to the penguins or whatever else, the whales down in the South Seas or near Japan. So make the body strong and then extend the conception of family life to our family, to the community, whatever. Protect it. And therefore everyone can live here peacefully without any anxiety because we have the solutions to everything. But we can see, on one hand, they're talking about we're making progress in Australia, or we're trying to. And it's all based upon money. If we can just give these things money. They have these collections for heart disease, for cancer, for whatever else that comes along. Given charity. Run for heart disease. Some people drop dead during the run for heart disease. They get a heart attack. So that's conception. There's so much talk about it. And then the fear, which is what everyone's afraid of. This is what modern leaders are very much into. They can't help anyone. They can't protect anyone practically. But they're expert at fear, making everyone afraid. ISIS is going to come and get you. They live next door. They have a secret cell. Only we can protect you. The newest chicken flu is coming. Now it's the rooster flu or something. It's going to come and fly over and sting you. Fearful. Take shelter of us. We can protect you. Give up everything. Give up all your money. Give up all your intelligence. Everything. Surrender to us. And then we'll protect you from all your future reactions. Masuchaha. Don't fear. So everyone's advertising like that in the material world. Marry me and I'll protect you. Marry me and I'll serve you. Everyone's advertising like that. I'm strong, I'm intelligent, I'm powerful. Take shelter of me and I'll protect you. And what is this, all this protection? It's the same thing over and over again. Punat punas charvita charvanana. Nidriya riyate naktam. What are we all afraid of? Oh, tonight I won't have a nice place to sleep. Oh, horrible. Oh. Call 9/11 immediately. Nidriya riyate naktam. Vavavayena chavavaya. And my sex life will not be satisfied. Oh, don't worry. We have millions of outlets for sex life. We'll equip you with the latest clothing and whatever else. And if everything fails, no one loves you. We have pornography, or we'll have virtual reality of sex life. Don't worry, we'll provide it somehow or another. Even if you're deaf and blind and dumb and you can't experience that, will somehow or another have you experience as if you were the supreme Romeo in the universe, that you were actually Cupid incarnate. Nidriya harite naktam bhava yena chivatam divya charteya rajan. And during the day, work hard. You just have to work like an ass so you can eat like a hog, sleep like a bear, and defend yourself like a tiger, and have sex like a pigeon. Just work like a dog. And we'll give you everything. And what is that everything? You can go shopping. And you have no money, we'll give you credit. So in your next 30 lifetimes, you'll come back and pay us back the interest. So this is modern civilization. No worries, Mike. But what is the whole worry centered around? It's deha apatya kalatradishu atma saneshva satsupi tesham brahmato nidanam pashanapi na pashati. The real worry is we're going to die. That's the ultimate thing. My body is going to grow old, become diseased, and then die. And who knows where I'm going? I have no idea. I may disappear, or I may go to heaven, but I have no idea what's going to happen. Therefore, I'm always in anxiety at every moment about my future. And therefore, I've gotten so many soldiers. Not only the Australian Army has soldiers in it, but everyone is trying to get allies in his struggle against material existence. We get married, not because we really love you. We don't love anyone. We only love ourselves in the material existence. But we make allies. And the way of doing it, we say, we love you. If we said, I hate you, let's get married, it wouldn't work. Maybe nowadays it might work, but... So we claim, I love you, I'll protect you. But actually we're saying, I need you as one of my soldiers in my army to fight against the material existence. And therefore, let's have some children, expand our army, and get a dog. They claim he's loyal to the army. So we make all these soldiers. We have our fort called our house. We have our weapons. We have our exercise machines. We have our bank balance. We have the lock on the door and the doorbell. They're all efforts to protect us. But they're all fallible. And we see no one has been able to survive in spite of all the means that they have. Even Howard Hughes, he had billions of dollars. And he was afraid of germs. He thought a germ might sneak in and kill him. So he put himself in a sealed room, hermetically sealed room. Air couldn't even enter. He put in his own air into the room, which was filtered from all germs. Even his food had to pass through ultraviolet rays before it reached him. And he lived in the room for some years. But somehow or another, a germ snuck into the room and killed him. So with all his billions, he couldn't protect himself. With a body that could bear the attack of a thunderbolt, Hiranyakashipu got some stomach problem and died. So what to speak of ourselves? Pashanapi na pashati. But we're seeing this, but we don't see. We still struggle, trying to put up our defenses, learn martial arts, take our vitamins, do our exercise, study self-help, surrender to the government, pay our taxes, avoid all kinds of problems, and still we die anyhow. Therefore, when we hear that surrender to Krishna, or else you're going to get into trouble. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma, Bhagavan Ishvara Hari, Shoktavyas Kirtitavyas Cha, Smartavyak Chehitavaya. Shukadeva Goswami, he recommended to Pariksha Maharaj, don't worry about dying, because everyone dies. There's no solution to it. There is a solution, but it's not material. It's hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, absorbing ourselves in Krishna consciousness. Then we don't have to take another body that's going to die. This body is destined to die. We've already taken it. It was already dead when we took it. And it'll become apparent that it's dead in a very short period of time. The problem is getting another dead body again and going through the same illusion. So get out of illusion and all these different things will go away, will be forgotten, and reality will be experienced. But if we want to fight in the material world, we're fighting against Krishna. If we want to struggle in the material world, we're struggling against Krishna. And not only Hiranyaksha is going to lose, sorry to spoil the plot, but I guess most of us probably have figured out that Hiranyaksha, when he fights against Lord Varaha, the fight was fixed from the beginning. All odds are on Varaha. But all odds also are on Krishna in our struggle against material existence. We're all going to be vanquished unless we take shelter of Krishna, unless we take our next step, unless we actually consider what's to be done carefully in order to serve Krishna. Unless we consider that we're subject to defeat, Paravas Tavada Bodha Jata, Yavane Jignasita Atmatatvam, Yavakriyas Tavadi Dhammanovai, Karmatmaka Yena Sharira Bandaha. That as soon as we stop thinking what to do to serve Krishna, at once we're defeated by ignorance. And the result is our consciousness becomes cloudy. It's not that we have to wait until death to be defeated. No, our defeat is that we're covered by the illusory energy. And we don't understand things properly, and our activities become mundane, and therefore we have to take one body after another. Therefore, every one of our acharyas say the same thing. The victory is, when we say Jai Prabhu, Jai, is evam prasan karma prasam yukte avididatman yupadiyamane pritirna yavan maye vasudeve nimuchate deha yogena tadva. That the victory is we give up these false identifications. Just like yesterday, the brahmachari meeting, what to do with our parents. They want us to serve them. Of course, everyone in the material world wants service. You ask anyone in the street, can I serve you? Generally, they'll say, yeah. Even if they say, drop dead, that will serve me. At least they will render them some service. Everyone wants service. Everyone wants us to become part of their alliance, part of their army, in their fight against material existence, although everyone's going to lose, no matter how big your army is. You may have an army the size of Kalyavana's army, 32 million Yavana soldiers, and he lost. So what to speak of ourselves, how many soldiers we're going to get? What is our power? So unless one develops, gives up these false identifications, this false conception, I'm this body and this is my family, and extend it wherever we're going to extend it as part of our alliances against the illusory energy, we have to give it up. Then there's some possibility of gradually developing love for Vasudev. And only that way, namuchate yena yogena tava, can one avoid being crushed by the material illusory energy. So, Hiranyaksha is here. He's very proud, he's very strong, he has all abilities and all facility, and he's going to lie down like the rest of us. Ultimately, food for jackals and dogs. So let's not join him, become part of his fan club, Let's not make him one of our friends on Facebook. Put Vishnu there, and therefore then we'll actually become victorious over birth, death, old age, and disease. So I'll stop there. Any comments? Thank you. Yes.
As you're saying, we have this cloudy consciousness and wait for surrendering, but it's very difficult to put it in black and white. You have to cut everything and then take up Krishna as your shelter. How do we move into that?
Chat around's better. Therefore, in this age, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gantiranyata. There's no other way. Not by our karma yoga or our jnana yoga or astanga yoga. The only way is by trying to improve our japa. And in order to improve our japa, we have to improve our devotional service to Krishna. We have to actually show Krishna. We want to be part of his mission to become Krishna conscious and to spread Krishna consciousness to others. Then our japa will become better. And then we'll gradually make some improvement. So along with chanting, we have to follow Krishna's instructions as given in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and become his instrument for helping others become Krishna conscious. To chant, hear, and remember Krishna together. Anything else? Yes.
While working here in this world, what should be our best approach towards the world, and we can work in such a way that we remain Krishna conscious also?
Well, very simply, we should look at the world as everything here belonging to Krishna. And then we should find out from Krishna and his representatives what they want us to do with whatever circumstances we're under. We have to become jignasu, inquisitive. How to see things properly, how to understand what our duty is. And then we have to fulfill that duty. We have to think, whatever we're doing, we've been appointed to discharge this particular activity by Krishna, and we're doing it just to please him. Then naturally we'll remember him. And if we actually naturally remember Krishna, then that's perfect Krishna consciousness. And that's the success of our activity, that we're actually doing something substantial to please Krishna, and at the same time we're actually becoming more conscious of Krishna, or developing love for Krishna. Yes. Servants. We relate to everyone as their servant. Gopi Bharata Parakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. We become everyone's servant by becoming the servant of Krishna's representatives in disciplic succession. So whatever we do, however we relate to anyone, it's always relating to them as we're Krishna's eternal servant. And we find out what Krishna wants us to do, how he wants us to think, how he wants us to speak. We do that as an instrument for Krishna. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira ikilasya vabapsapsu jiva mukta se uchite. Om gaitas his body, mind, and words, everything in Krishna's service, and he becomes liberated even in this world. So there's no scope for anything outside of Krishna's service, even in family life. It's not a license to fall into maya. It's so difficult being a brahmachari, having to go through so many austerities, having to be t- told to be Krishna conscious, having to be a servant all the time. Let me become a householder and then I can become the master for a while. Fall into Maya for 20 years and then I'll become surrendered again. No, it's another ashram.
For
service. It's a different type of service. To Krishna. Everyone's servant, but we're supposed to serve Krishna and his representatives. Anything else? Yes. In this verse, he translated, which verse?
Maharaj said that no other yoga processes will help. So I was just thinking about why Prabhupada calls Buddha Yoga.
He doesn't call Buddha Yoga Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga is different. Buddha Yoga is Krishna consciousness. And Sankhya Yoga is a path that may lead to Krishna consciousness. He says only the ignorant speak of Sankhya Yoga and Buddha as being different from Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga, which is an aspect of Bhakti Yoga. That he who knows, who applies himself well to one of these paths, achieves the results of both. So, Sankhya Yoga is the analyzation of the material world, which ultimately arrives at the conclusion that Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then one, with further knowledge, he engages in service to Vishnu, to Krishna. And that's called Buddha Yoga. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.